Hi, Top Grove Hill. We're welcoming you into the best day of your life. This is our chance to hear from people running for office who would like your vote, who have something to say. So I want you to stay tuned, listen in closely as we begin our debate with Senator Michael Huff, the incumbent from Senate District 4, and Jessica Douglas, who is the challenger. First of all, good afternoon to both, candidates. Thank you for taking time. Thank you for accepting the challenge, Senator. It was placed by Jennifer. So we're, Jessica. I like your name as Jennifer, so you may have to correct me.
I'll just correct you.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Jennifer, Jessica, you're a school teacher. So tell us, take some time, in about a minute or so, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Sure, thank you. Again, I'm Jessica Douglas. I'm running for State Senate in District 4. I grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania. I went to the Pennsylvania State University for my education degree. And when I graduated, I became a teacher in Maryland, along with my husband. He's also an English teacher. We have four sons, and I'm running because of them. I've seen a lot of political division, especially on the national stage recently, and I really had a hard time with it, and instead of worrying about it all the time, I wanted to do something. And, you know, I look around, somebody do something, and I'm somebody. And so I think it's really important that we start on the local representation level and elevate our rhetoric here, and hopefully that can work its way up so that we can all be represented fairly. And so this is why I'm running, to serve the people of District 4 on a local level, and this is why I'm asking for your vote on November 6th.
Thank you, Jessica. And Senator?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, and glad to be back on here. Many of your local or your regular listeners will know my voice from when I call in during session. I've guest hosted some shows. Most people should know it's pretty evident where I stand on the issues. I am conservative. I'm a Republican. Usually when I'm calling down from the Maryland General Assembly, it's to tell people about some of the outrageous bills down there in Annapolis and things I'm fighting, whether it was attempts to set up legalized heroin dens down in Annapolis, some of the outrageous spending, the bills that were targeted partisan against, whether it be President Trump, whether it be against Governor Hogan, and a lot of those things. So I've obviously had a very conservative stand, but I've been a very effective legislator. I think my record stands really second almost to none. I was one of the co-authors of the largest criminal justice reforms in the history of the state of Maryland. I did a civil asset forfeiture reform with Republicans and Democrats, which was really a groundbreaking protection for private property rights. I partnered up with Governor Larry Hogan. I was one of the first people in the state for him to endorse. I'm a strong ally of his. In this last session, we did legislation together protecting victims of crime, specifically rape victims, and also doing legislation on drug dealers, tougher penalties.
You had warned me that as a politician, you had warned me. First question goes to Jessica, and then go to the senator. There is a move underway to, we believe it was a move underway to decriminalize the use of marijuana. We already have in the state of Maryland the use of medical marijuana, but we feel that as the state continues to think in a liberal sense, that there will be a move to decriminalize marijuana. Jessica, your stand on the legalization of marijuana?
I think the legalization of recreational marijuana is an issue that is going to come up, and it will come up soon in the state of Maryland and nationwide. Probably in the next 10, 15, 20 years, it's going to be a nationwide policy that marijuana will be legalized for recreational use. And so as a state, we ought to get ahead of that. There are already 11 states, I think, that have decriminalized recreational marijuana. And these states are earning a huge tax revenue from the sale of legalized marijuana. Also, you're creating a safer product by making sure that it's regulated. And so allowing people to use this drug in the comfort of their own home, especially if they're suffering from some other form of addiction, might be a way to help them along so that they don't have to go through illegal avenues, and if they have a legal prescription for marijuana, maybe take away some of those loopholes for them.
Senator Huff, the same question.
Yeah, so there's two different things at issue here. One is decriminalization, the other is legalization. So right now in Maryland, we allow, or it's decriminalized, meaning it's only a civil penalty if you have 10 grams or less. I guess this is where my more libertarian streak comes in that I supported legislation. It was a compromise bill. Republicans and Democrats agreed. And in fact, we worked with state's attorneys and law enforcement to decriminalize up to an ounce. But also we were allowed to say that we had to have make it illegal to smoke marijuana in a car, especially while it's moving. And that is something we had to address. That legislation unfortunately stalled. I would be in support of that again. At this point, I'm not in support of legalization of marijuana. And where I think we really have to draw the line, and what I've seen has been scary down in Annapolis, is efforts to legalize and or decriminalize harder drugs, especially with the opioid and heroin crisis that we have ongoing. There was legislation that was moving last year, came out of committee, to allow legalized heroin dens to be set up in Maryland. I think that's wrong. And there was also legislation, which I know has been talked about on your show, which would allow for civil penalties for small amounts of hard drugs. I think that's wrong as well.
All right, thank you both to answer the question. Next question to you, Senator, comes to us.
Yes. You do get a 30-second rebuttal.
Right?
Yes.
You want to take that right now, Frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you're live, Jessica.
Okay. So Senator Huff did mention the opioid epidemic in response to a question about marijuana, and I think that this is somewhere where we need to reduce the stigma there. When people have an addiction, it's not a heroin den. It's a place where a safe space where someone can go. And these places have been proven to allow a person to seek help. And if we have professionals staffed at these places, then people can safely seek the help that they need.
All right. Very good. And you got 30 seconds on that.
Yeah, just say that's exactly what they were. The legislation was so dangerous. It came out, there was no age restriction. There would be no prosecution. You could basically have drug dealers set outside selling heroin, and you can go inside of these. It is a heroin den, and the state would give you needles, give you syringes, everything you needed to shoot up heroin. You could have 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds walk in and legally shoot heroin and have the state of Maryland facilitating that. That is a crazy idea, and that is exactly the kind of things that we need defeated by legislators like myself that have common sense.
Okay, we take a short break, 4:19 in the afternoon. Coming.
And if you have a question, you can text it in, 301-694-WFMD. And I'd like to thank both of you because we have thrown open to any candidates who want to join us for a debate, Tim. And we've heard lots of from lots of races, one side, but not everybody has to respond to us in order for us to sanction a debate.
That's sad.
Thank these two for both. Agreeing.
Thank you.
Next issue I'd like to ask about is health care. What in the Maryland General Assembly do you feel that you can do, or what would be your stand on dealing with high prescription drug prices in Maryland and protecting Marylanders' health care? And I guess, Senator Huff, you're first.
Yeah, one of the problems that we've had in Maryland is that you look at the national model that Obamacare and the problems that has caused. Maryland was one of the early people that started heavily regulating, heavily taxing, and basically destroying the individual insurance market. So that now, last session, the state had to do a big tax increase to basically prop up the insurance market. The individual insurance market in Maryland has completely collapsed, and it's taxpayers and tax increases that are propping it up. It is completely broken, and anyone who says otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. What we need to do is get away from this model that we've had, where you basically have two insurance companies, heavily regulated plans, no competition, and the last thing we should do is the Ben Jealous plan. The Ben Jealous plan, which would take Medicare and expand it to everybody, would literally cost every Marylander $2,800. And if you take all of his plans, they actually double the size of the state of Maryland's budget. We need to have healthcare plans that actually match people for what they need. We shouldn't throw a bunch of requirements and regulations on top of plans for things that people don't need. And we should go back to actually having an individual insurance market that actually works. Because right now, what we have is the Affordable Care Act is the Unaffordable Care Act. And we're dealing with it in Maryland, the vestiges of it, which have completely wrecked the private insurance market. And I think it was the wrong decision 4 years ago. And I still think we need to get away from that.
Jessica, your answer.
While the Affordable Care Act may not have been perfect, once it was implemented, the citizens of Maryland did benefit by more coverage. And so in 2017, the state legislature worked to protect the Affordable Care Act in Maryland, and without the Affordable Care Act, taking that away from the people of Maryland, Marylanders stood to pay 30 to 40% more on their health insurance premiums. And so the legislature did work to protect health care for Marylanders. Senator Huff voted against that. In order to make sure that our prescription drug prices don't skyrocket anymore, and maybe even we can bring them down, I do support the Drug Cost Review Commission of 2018. We do need to make sure that we hold prescription drug companies accountable, that we, you know, ask for their to notify the public to justify their price increases, and make sure that we are protecting our citizens and their health care.
Senator Huff, rebuttal.
Yeah, what I actually voted against was taking millions and millions of taxpayer dollars and propping up the completely broken Obamacare exchanges. The system is completely collapsed, and rather than fixing it, the Maryland General Assembly's idea was basically to take taxpayer money and to subsidize it to keep it alive. And also in that bill was also instituting back the individual mandate, which is the brilliant idea that if you can't afford health insurance, we'll go ahead and tax you and punish you, which was a terrible thing. Thankfully, the federal government got rid of that, and that bill was also bringing that back. That's what I opposed.
Okay, Ms. Douglas?
Thanks for the opportunity. Of course, providing health care to people, even at an increased tax, is going to save the state money, is going to save taxpayers' money, because prevention costs less than reaction. And so sending people to the emergency room every time they have a health issue is going to end up costing us as well. And so we do need to protect our health insurance for our state constituents.
Okay, Frank, you have time for a message. It's coming up on 28 minutes after the hour, so we're going to talk a little bit. The what we'll be asking later on, and I want you to concentrate on this or think about this, it'll drive you nuts, is I want you to have a questions for each other, which you'll ask, and then you'll have a chance to rebut after your opponent comes to you and says that.
Tim, we have time for one more if you want.
Okay, we've talked about drugs. We've talked a little bit about that. The state of Maryland is not a sanctuary state. And this, when I use this word sanctuary, it simply means that we would not prosecute those individuals who are here illegally, even if they've been charged with a crime. There is a move underfoot, I think, in Annapolis, without question, that this would be something that our local politicians, some of our local politicians, would want to happen. The question now goes back to Jessica. Would you be in favor of making Maryland a sanctuary state?
No, that to me sounds like a political gimmick. There's no need to make it a sanctuary state. If someone is here without documentation and they get arrested and they do, you know, and they commit some serious crime, the federal government will be involved. If they are sent to jail, if they are sent to prison for a serious crime and they are undocumented, ICE will be contacted. And so there's a protection for us law-abiding citizens, for regardless of whether a person is a naturalized citizen or an undocumented immigrant, that if they commit a crime, they're going to jail. And if ICE needs to be notified, then they will be, and then steps will be taken to deport them if that's what needs to happen. Making it a sanctuary state is unnecessary, in my view.
Senator Huff.
Well, I'm glad you changed your message, because you told Progressive Maryland, this is your questionnaire, will you support the Trust Act that was making Maryland a sanctuary state for illegal immigrants? These are people that come into Frederick County illegally, the sheriff arrests for committing a new crime, and then the Department of Homeland Security asked for them to be detained. That would not be allowed anymore under the Maryland Trust Act, which you said you would support. This is under Progressive Maryland, you told them that. And then you also put, this is from your Facebook, abolish ICE. So I'm wondering if you still support abolishing ICE as well.
Jessica.
I thought we were asking questions of each other at the end. However, certainly I want to make sure that people in the state of Maryland feel comfortable talking to their police force. And so, again, whether an immigrant is documented or undocumented, whether they're here legally or illegally, they should be able to approach the police force approach the sheriff's office when they see questionable behavior or issues in their neighborhoods. And so they need to feel confident in that. And so pushing ICE in Frederick County, especially, I feel makes citizens afraid to approach their police service.
Senator?
Yeah, we actually have passed legislation in Maryland, and it's unconstitutional. The Supreme Court found it that you can't profile people, that you can't that basically, you know, this idea that people aren't coming to police. I don't think that's accurate. I sit on the Maryland Police Training Commission. I work with them on these issues. But what I am strongly against, and you know 100% where I am because I have a voting record on this, I am against making Maryland a sanctuary state for illegal immigrants. And I worked with our Sheriff's Association, our Sheriff Chuck Jenkins, and our other sheriffs across the state who supported my legislation to stop counties like Montgomery County and these other liberal jurisdictions that are sanctuary counties.
All right. Thank you. We're coming right back after this very short break. Frank, Tim, but most important day, two candidates. of course, we have Jessica and Senator Mike Huff. Jessica Douglas, I'll just make sure I get your whole name in there because I got to read my notes. Frank, you coming back with us? It's a shame that other people out there running for office don't have the same courage that these individuals do. So I thank both Jessica Douglas and Senator Huff for accepting our opportunity to debate, which is fair and unbalanced.
And we continue with our questions. Okay. By the way, you can text yours in.
Yeah.
316-94-WFMD.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question
about
the environment in Maryland. What do you think, both of you, we need to do to enhance our sustainability to keep Maryland's water and air clean, et cetera? I guess, Ms. Douglas, you'd be first.
Sorry. Thank you. As a Sierra Club endorsed candidate, I appreciate this question. I'm very passionate about supporting our environment here in the state of Maryland. We need to double down on our efforts to make sure that we keep the Chesapeake Bay clean and habitable for our blue crabs. We need to make sure that the Potomac River maintains its high level and quality so that, you know, we can enjoy it for generations to come, not only fishing and sport, but also it's our drinking water for a lot of this, a lot of the state, and definitely in parts of District 4. And so it's very important to me to protect our water and our clean air. Not only is looking at the environment important for environment's sake, but it's also a jobs creator. If we go forward with the Clean Energy Jobs Act and make sure that we're focusing more on solar energy, we can bring solar energy jobs here to the state of Maryland. Between 2015 and 2016, the solar industry grew 20 times faster than the state's overall economy. And so we can continue that trend and continue job growth through environmental regulations and support as well.
Senator Huff?
Yeah, I think everybody is for a clean environment, obviously. The question is how you get there. And, you know, I led the efforts to stop the taxpayer subsidies of trash incinerators. I passed that through the Senate. But what I have a problem with, and one of the bills that Governor Hogan vetoed that was overridden by the legislature, is that the way that they are funding renewable energy is they're doing a tax on everyone's energy bill, which amounts to about $55 a year, and it'll keep going up and up and up the more that you put these mandates in place. And the problem is you're taxing people who can – some people that can't afford it on their energy bill, and you're taking it and you're giving it to massive corporations. It always strikes me as odd that you have folks on the left, the Bernie Sanders crowd, that for this they're okay giving, let's say, GE, who's a multi-billion dollar corporation – basically giving them tax subsidies or giving them these massive taxpayer subsidies that are taken off the backs of people who can barely afford it on their energy bills. And I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. I don't think that we should take money off people's energy bills, people that can't afford it, and give it to these massive corporations, most of which, almost all of which, are out of state. They're not even Maryland corporations that are getting this money.
Do you want to, Jessica, rebut that?
Thank you. well, there's no guarantee that this $55 a year is going to go up and up and up. And if there's a problem with the bill that makes that the case, then we can fix that. We can revise the bill and put in a some sort of revision and move forward. But I think it's a small price to pay to make sure that we can drink our water and breathe our air.
Senator?
Yeah, I mean, that is the bill. That is the whole bill. The renewable energy that's set up in Maryland is a tax on your energy bill. And every year, as they increase the amount of renewables that we have, they increase the tax. That's exactly how the system works. And with all due respect, Elon Musk doesn't need $55 a year of tax from you. He's doing just fine on his own. GE doesn't need a $55 tax from you. We don't need to tax people in Emmitsburg and Brunswick off their energy bills and give it to billionaires who are out of state. It's outrageous.
Next question, I think, goes to the senator. Senator, there's been a lot said. There has been a lot said about funding for education, whether or not the state of Maryland does its fair share. We've had dedicated taxes in the past for this, and allegedly we're going to have dedicated taxes in the future for this. Is the state of Maryland doing enough for our local school system in Frederick as you fight for us or as you fight for your district?
Yeah, don't take my word for it. Take it from the Washington Post. Governor Hogan has funded record levels for education. And, you know, there was a problem. My first 2 years down in office, Frederick County was set to lose money. And we actually partnered with legislators from across the state because of the our wealth was going up and our student population, my first 2 years in office, had flatlined. And we actually worked with legislators from across the state, and we've increased that. Frederick County and the state has received record funding for education. That's why the state budget has passed 47-0. Now, what I have a problem with that was done is we need much more accountability, though, for the funds that we've provided. And one of the worst, most outrageous acts, and I brought with me this thank you letter that the comptroller, Peter Francho, sent me when I stood up against the floor, on the floor, against Mike Miller and the Democrat machine when they were stripping Peter Francho and the governor out of accountability for school construction funds. He said, thank you very much for your leadership and independence. Basically, that I was willing to stand up against this terrible partisan bill that would take Governor Hogan out of oversight for school construction funding.
Jessica, Douglas?
Okay, so the record levels of spending on public schools is great, but that would be the case if, you know, we increased our school funding and operating budget by a dollar, because with the maintenance of effort laws, we must spend at least what was spent the year before. And with, you know, our increased population, with our changing demographics and the needs of our kids, of course we're spending more. Every year we must do that by law. And, you know, because it's the right thing to do for our kids. As a teacher and a teacher-endorsed candidate, I think that the state really can never do enough for kids. But as far as prioritizing our kids, we need to make sure that we're continuing to fund our quality public schools.
Senator?
As you say, it's been record funding, and there have been record increases. The last one, it's right here from the Washington Post. It was $6.1 billion in education funding. That's why these budgets went through the Senate. All 4 years, Governor Hogan's budgets passed 47-0, meaning not one Democrat, not one Republican objected to the amount of funding for education. And we've made sure that Frederick County got its fair share as well.
Jessica, you have 30 seconds.
I'd also like to just address and make sure that we have pathways for secondary education and education after high school so that people in Maryland don't drown in college and college loan debt.
Okay, we take a very short break coming back, and we'll now allow the candidates to ask each other questions. Same kind of question, back and forth a minute for the response in 30 seconds, and yada, yada, yada. Coming right back, Free Talk Radio. Hey, we're back. We have the opportunity, the honor, if you will, to have Jessica Douglas with us, a candidate for the Senate seat in District 4, and we have the current senator, Senator Michael Huff, from the District 4.
District 4, of course, encompassing a good part of Frederick County and some of Carroll County. And let me see if we can work in at least one more question here, Tim, and I'd like to ask both candidates about overall budget at business and jobs in Maryland. How do we keep good jobs in Maryland, and how do we best have an efficiently run Maryland state government? Who would be first? Would it be Ms.
I think
Douglas?
Senator would be first.
Senator Huff, okay.
Well, I think the first thing we should do is reelect Governor Hogan and send down people to Annapolis who will be allies with him. I served under Martin O'Malley, and I remember those days very well when we were sending jobs and people fleeing out of the state, when we did over 40 tax and fee increases, which added up to over $4,600 for the average Marylander of new taxes they had to pay. And when we did all these new taxes, businesses, taxpayers just fled. The difference is we went from under Martin O'Malley losing 100,000 jobs to under Governor Hogan gaining 100,000 jobs. We have to put people in place who will work to keep taxes low, reduce Maryland's taxes. We're still one of the highest tax states in the nation, to vote against these regulations that are crushing small business owners. That's why the NFIB, which is the voice of small business owners, has supported me and continue to champion for these people. With the end result, government doesn't create jobs. The free market does. And we have to create an environment that allows small business owners to succeed. And I know personally from working with my constituents, it is a nightmare to open a small business still in Maryland. It's gotten better with Governor Hogan, but it is still costly, expensive, and heavily regulated and heavily taxed. We need to continue to do much more and much better on that.
Thank you, Senator. Jessica Douglas.
As your state senator, I'd like to focus on bringing jobs to Frederick and Carroll County, working with our municipal and county leaders to identify needs and work to identify creative goals and innovation, providing small businesses with opportunities to expand and grow within District 4. We need to partner with secondary education and business and industry so that they can work together and bring possible job prospects here. But most of all, we need business owners. They need a steady market to expand their consumer base. We need to allow the people to be able to have access to our small businesses. And so we need to focus a little more on the demand side. That's you and me. We are the people who will frequent these small businesses. And so we need to increase our own prospects, our own educational prospects, our own job prospects, so that we can then improve the economy all around.
Senator, you have a 30-second rebuttal.
I'm good.
You're good? Very good.
Ms. Douglas?
Okay. All right, perfect. I cautioned you we will have questions that you could ask each other. Begin with Jessica Douglas. What question would you have Senator Huff ask?
Okay. So in our last legislative session, and this went into effect on October 1st, our red flag law in the state of Maryland, which was brought forth with bipartisan support. Governor Larry Hogan supported it. And my question is, why would you vote against that?
Senator Huff?
Because I don't vote against bills that don't make any sense. And I'll tell you why it didn't make any sense. The current law in Maryland is if you are a danger to yourself or others, or you have a restraining order, that you lose your firearm. This bill actually set up a higher standard. And it basically said that you had to be an imminent risk, and then they would take your firearm. So I kept asking everyone, what is the point of this? And no one could really answer. This was the typical Annapolis, well, we'll pass a bill and tell everyone it's going to take care of all the problems, when it doesn't. The bill literally, I just explained to you very clearly why it doesn't do anything. And the only thing that it does that I have a real problem with, though, is that once they take your firearm under this, and I have a problem with this, and I'm a real champion for private property rights, that once you take it, it set up a lower evidentiary standard for them to keep your firearm. And I actually worked with, I know he's endorsed you, I was good friends with him in the legislature, Senator Jamie Raskin, now congressman. We did a joint bill together on this, on civil asset forfeiture, which basically said that when the government seized your property, we put in a place, Jamie and I, all these protections to allow people to get their property back. So that was my concern with it. The bill isn't going to do anything because of the evidence, because of the high hurdles it sets up, and then it won't, and it allows the government to keep your firearms unnecessarily.
Ms.
Douglas.
Have a
30-second?
But in seeing what's been going on the national stage and even locally, like at the Annapolis News Post, don't you think that red flag laws could have prevented atrocities like these? And the irresponsible gun owners who might be pushed over the edge, if friends, family, teachers see that this is a possibility, that this is something that can be prevented, why would we not work to prevent that?
30 seconds, Senator.
Well, if I could just pose, I hate to pose a question on the question. I just explained how it doesn't do anything. Maybe you can explain to me what this bill actually does. I sat through there and I told you, it's right now in a current law, if you are a danger to yourself or others, they can seize your firearm. This says you're an imminent danger. So what does this bill actually do?
I would let them respond, except we won't have time to, barely going to have time to get in your question for Ms. Douglas. So let's do that.
Senator Huff to Jessica Douglas.
Well, my question would be, you know, as I've traveled Frederick County, the one thing I've seen that I've never seen before is a governor as popular as this governor among Democrats, Republicans, independents, everyone, that this governor is so popular. And I was just really taken aback when this governor came into town that you joined Senator Ron Young in a street protest against him, a very partisan protest. And maybe you can explain to the folks in District 4 why Ben Jealous, who's a self-admitted socialist and has a plan that would double the size of Maryland's budget, why would Ben Jealous be a better governor, and why are you supporting him over Governor Larry Hogan?
Jessica Douglas?
The demonstration on the street was not a protest of our current governor. It was an opportunity to show support and solidarity for Senator Young, who I support and hope he wins re-election. And so we were just trying to make a statement there about that. Ben Jealous has been endorsed by the teachers and the Sierra Club, and those are important issues for me, and so that's why I will be voting for him. But regardless of who is in the governor's mansion, I will be working for District 4.
Okay, and you would have 30 seconds back?
Yeah, I would just say it shows the difference of putting partisanship over common sense, that we have a governor that is getting historic support among Democrats, unaffiliateds, and Republicans. Many of my Democrat colleagues in Annapolis had said partisanship is asking for too much in this case, that he is probably one of the most irresponsible candidates we've ever had run in Maryland. And I just think that we need to send more legislators down there that will work with Governor Hogan and be an ally for him.
Thank you. And Jessica, anything further?
No, thank you so much for having me on.
And Senator Huff, this brings us to the end. The hour goes by so fast. Thank each of you. I wish luck to both of you. I can't vote for either of you, by the way, so I could say I'm not voting for you, Senator, or I'm not voting for you, Jessica, because you're out of my district. But I tell you what, continue to do everything you're doing, and we, the people of Frederick County, are blessed because we have two candidates that certainly will represent us well. Frank, anything further?
No, thank you, Senator Huff, and thank you, Jessica Douglas, for coming in. State Senate District 4. Make sure you are in District 4 if you're considering one of the candidates in Frederick and Carroll County.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. And maybe you can get District 3 to come in here and debate. Maybe the incumbent senator from 3 will follow my lead and come on in here.
We'll see.